Beloved, Christ is in our midst. The gospel today finds Jesus at prayer in synagogue on the Sabbath day. And we know of the importance of the Sabbath day from Genesis, where God, Christ, created everything. The earth and the heavens, the waters, the plants, the animals, us. And in Genesis it says, on the seventh day, he rested from his work. And additionally, when he gave to Moses the tablets of the law, one of those commandments says to keep holy the Sabbath day. That is, to honor God on it, not to do unnecessary work. And this is what comes into play in the gospel today. For like the widow of Nain, who is carrying out her dead son to the cemetery, Jesus does not wait to be asked. He sees this woman, so stooped over. And the evangelist says she was like this for 18 years. But we have the understanding that not everyone knew that. It's not something Jesus would have known necessarily as a human being unless he had seen her for 18 years. So when he says, "Have you not seen this woman bound for 18 years?" the very fact that he says that reveals something about himself, that he knows things. He knows us, every little bit of our lives, from the beginning until the end. And he knows about this woman. And he does not ask her anything. He goes to her and lays his hands on her and heals her. Such is his care for her. Which also shows us that such is his care for us, because he sees us in our pain, in our suffering, and he draws near to us and is with us, is in us. But the ruler of the synagogue, he immediately takes issue with what Jesus has done. He doesn't see the miracle. He sees Jesus did work on the Sabbath. And we know this because his first words are, "There are six other days on which you can come to be healed, on which you can work. Don't come to be healed on the Sabbath day when you should not work." And Jesus has care for this ruler too. On the one hand, Jesus does not begin by telling him, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who it is you're speaking to? The one who created the heavens and the earth, who established the Sabbath, who made you?" Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't overwhelm the ruler of the synagogue. He speaks strongly to him, yes. Because he points out his hypocrisy, saying, "Hypocrite, you don't consider it a violation of the Sabbath to go and take your ox or your ass out to water or to feed it. You don't consider that breaking the Sabbath." And here, someone fashioned in Christ's image, suffering for 18 years, and Jesus works this miracle, and Jesus is telling the ruler, "Don't you think she's worthy of this mercy too? The same mercy you show to dumb animals, and you don't consider it work?" And here, someone fashioned after the image of God suffering, and Jesus heals and the ruler criticizes. So Jesus is showing care for the ruler also, because he's trying to open up his heart, his mind, so that he will see his own hypocrisy and repent. But Jesus doesn't force him. He doesn't compel him. He doesn't overwhelm him with his presence. He shows his care to the woman who is suffering and to the obstinate ruler who thinks Jesus is committing a sin by healing on the Sabbath. And beloved, this all is pointing to us over and over, Christ's care for us, always, at every way and in every moment. For he cares for the grass that we cut with our lawnmowers and put out to be taken away with the mulch or the trash. He cares for the birds that might only live for a season or two, for the bees. If he has care for all these things, he has care for all of his creation, everything he fashioned, us too, because we especially are made according to his image, to Christ's image. He fashions us after himself. So he has care for us always. From the hair on our head that may be black today and gray tomorrow, or even gone tomorrow, every little bit of us he has care for, because he made us. And when he looks at us, he sees something of himself. He sees something of his divinity in us, his image that he planted in us and which we can never destroy. So that he is merciful to us in our sorrows, our suffering, and our pain. That he especially draws near to us when we are suffering. That we may say someone who is suffering a lot is going through hell on earth, and that's not quite it. That's when God is closest to us, when we are suffering the most. The saints of the church have understood this. Saint Paisios, one of the newer saints of our church, saying that God is especially close to his children who are in pain. And the Jews too. When someone would go to visit a sick person, they would tell them, don't sit near their head, because that's where God is. That's his place, there with them. So don't go that close, because you're going to God when you're seeing the sick person. And we as Christians know this too, that God is closest to us in our suffering, even when we may not see it or understand it, but we turn to him. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Let me know that it is you who is here, that you who have control of my life, every moment of it. And sometimes you may have to speak to me harshly, like you did to that elder, that ruler of the synagogue, because I'm being stubborn and have my own will and want to do things my way. I want people how I want them and where I want them, but you, God, you show me your way. You dwell in me. You humble the pride that builds up in me. You crucify the selfishness that is in me. In whatever way you must do, only that I not be separated from you. Only that I know you and desire you alone. So that even dying in this life is nothing compared to knowing you, to being with you, to life with you, my Christ, who reign with the Father and the Spirit, for the ages of ages. Amen.